من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Once again, Allah SWT has blessed us by being here. And when Allah SWT wishes good for a person, He brings them to the place of good. If you did not want to come today, no one could have forced you to come. If you don't ever wish to come for a Jummah Salah, no one can tell you to come. It is something that you are doing voluntarily because there is a part of you that wants to attach itself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a part of you that wants to do good, and there is a part of you that wants to learn on how to abstain from wrong so you can become a better person. That's the exact reason why we are here. Allah knows that, and as far as shaitan is concerned, he also is fully aware that you are here seeking change. Something happens between the good intention we have and us really being here. And the thing that is in between that is reducing our success, reducing our contentment, reducing our love for Allah, reducing the quality of relationship that we have between ourselves and Allah, that's the thing we have to figure out. And that thing that is limiting you to get that link between yourself and Allah, my brothers and sisters, it is not going to leave you except for at the time of your death. And even at that time, it will haunt you and it will only leave you after you have died. This is something you have to be very, very aware of. There are billions of people. Every individual has a different weakness. Every individual has a different challenge. For some it may be alcohol. For some it may be drugs. For some it may be men. For some it may be women. For some it may be wealth. For some it may be impressing individuals. Everyone has a different thing that's going to pull them down. For some it may be loving other people too much and sacrificing themselves because they have low self-esteem or emotional issues they have to deal with. So the idea of the hadith that we make mention of, especially regarding the farewell speech of Rasulullah, for the most part it covers all these various dynamics for one purpose. So you and I can become better individuals. When Rasulullah gave this advice, you know, in today's time, there are speakers that get 5,000, 10,000, 50,000, 60,000. Why? Because they came up with a new idea or a new way to package an idea. Rasulullah in this farewell speech didn't say, for this idea, I must get a certain amount of wealth. My family must get a certain amount of wealth when you talk about it. These are challenges to give every time you mention the speech. The idea of this farewell speech was one and only one. Getting you and I linked to Allah. Getting you and I linked to healthy relationships. Getting you and I linked on the highway of goodness so we can present that goodness not only to community and society, but in the day of Qiyamah, he can be a witness to our betterment. So Rasulullah, as we're continuing, he says the following towards the end of this farewell speech: O people, listen to me eagerly. Listen to me sincerely. Now imagine, I mean, we say to our children too, and young ones, listen, I'm your dad, I'm talking to you. And when they do other things, they fidget with the phone, we get upset. We get upset, and it's natural. Or we say things like, I'm always telling you this, why don't you get it? I'm always telling you that. It seems like it doesn't go into your head. Here, the Prophet of Allah, who you claim to love, is sharing advice. Now we know full well, when people say bad things about Shaykh Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we get very angry. We have to take out letters, we have to call up radio stations and call up television stations, we have to do lobbying, we have to hold a banner near the library, and all these things we do, and these things have a place. However, although those things have a place, we have to ask ourselves, forget others violating the command of Allah. For a moment, even forget our children and grandchildren and grandparents, etc. Let us ask ourselves, regarding the advice that has been given, how much of that advice am I violating? So Rasulullah says, listen to me in earnest, listen to me in genuineness, listen to me in sincerity. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the definition of worship? One definition could be that we will follow that entity out there and be respectful of that entity regardless of whether we like to follow that entity or not. It's a very important definition some of the scholars have made. By this definition, many of us are involved in shirk, because we all want our du'as to be answered. Shirk is when you ascribe powers to Allah. So we will respect our boss, we will respect our spouse, we will fear our child, we will do all the things they want us to do, because we are afraid if we did not do that, there will be consequences to be paid. My brothers and sisters, that is one of the definitions of shirk. That you are fearing something other than Allah for your everyday existence. And true worship of Allah is that whatever my Allah demands of me, whether I like it or not, whether others like it or not, I will follow it. I will accept it without doubt. And even if I don't like it, I'm willing to put my emotions aside, because I know my Allah knows better regarding the situation than I myself. That Allah is my creator, Allah is my sustainer, He is my maker. If He made me, He knows me, and He knows what is good for me and what is bad for me. So Rasulullah says, number one criterion, worship Allah. Number two criterion, take your salah seriously. Ramadan is coming, fast in the month of Ramadan. And my brothers and sisters, it sounds easy. There are so many young ones, so many that you probably even are aware of, that do not fast in the month of Ramadan. They get caught up going out with friends. And sometimes for men it is easier than women. Because women, during certain times of the month, they cannot fast. And what ends up happening, and speak to your daughters about this, speak to your nieces about this, and you'll see it is true, that because of certain times of the month they cannot fast, they get used to not fasting, then when they can fast and should be fasting, it is difficult to do so. That is why the ulama have given beautiful advice. Yes, there may be times when you cannot pray. You are not obligated to pray, but the least you can do, my sister, is at least take that prayer time into consideration and sit on the rug for that 5 or 10 minutes and make some other tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, whatever it may be. Because once you get in a habit of not praying, it is difficult to get back in that habit. This applies to women, it applies to men as well. Same thing applies to fasting. Once you break the rhythm, and men will tell you the same thing. One day I couldn't fast, they'll say, because something happened. Next day, you get in a habit. Or 2 or 3 days you didn't fast, the 4th and 5th day is pretty much gone. So Rasulullah is giving us this advice that fast in the month of Ramadan, give your wealth and give part of your wealth in as far as the zakah is concerned. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to take part in the Hajj and fulfill His obligations, thereafter You should try and do so, not only if you have the finances and the physical capability of fulfilling that obligation. Thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ gives another brilliant advice. He says, as far as humankind is concerned, you have one father and mother, which is Adam and Eve, known as Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. And in this section, thereafter, he says something we all have heard over and over. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, and a non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab. Why did Rasulullah ﷺ say this? As we mentioned the ayah, Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, ya ayyuhan nas, Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. Why nas? Allah is giving advice now to everyone. Everyone. Muslim, non-Muslim. And He's giving a general advice. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. First and foremost, we created you regardless of the fact that whether you are male or female. And وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِيَتَأَعْرَفُوا. And the differences you see within yourselves is not to say I am better or they are better. And this disease, my brothers and sisters, is toppling our societies. I will not go to this masjid, I'll only go to that masjid because so and so goes there, so and so. Imagine we have even turned the houses of Allah into areas of division. Imagine. I mean, how much low can a Muslim go? You've even turned the house of Allah into areas of segregation, into areas of apartheid. That we will only go to this mosque and they will only go to that mosque. Our Imam is of this background, their Imam is of that background. He doesn't know much because he's not like us. Imagine. We are doing it to masjids, we are doing it to humans. And the price now that we are paying is that our children have seen us do that, and now they are bringing that division into the home. Big brother is like this, and other brother is like that. Big sister is like this, other sister is like that. And that is not enough. My one child is like this, and my other child is like that. We have no stop. We have not created a stop point of this division, and it is ruining us. And this aspect of superiority is ruining us so much that I've actually heard people say, I know that they are right when they say such and such meat is haram. I know they are right when they say riba is haram. I know they are right when they say this, that, but I can't follow them because they are a different background. This is how sick we have become as a human nation. Where we'll say, I know they are right, but I can't follow them. Because my background people do something else. And this disease again. Okay, let's say it was taking place outside, I can understand. But now this disease has also penetrated our given homes. Thereafter the hadith continues by saying, also no white has superiority over a black, no a black has superiority over a white. Look at the balance in the statement. He didn't just say, Arab is not superior to non-Arab. He said it both ways. Arab not over non-Arab. Non-Arab is not superior over an Arab. White is not superior over black. A black is not superior over white. Otherwise, the person will say, the focal point is more on Arab. The focal point is more on white. That means white is right. Or Arab is right. The things we can infer can be many. So Rasulullah brought about a total balance in this whole statement. And thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ says, the only thing that makes you superior in the eyes of Allah is your taqwa and is amalun salih. Is your piety, is your goodness, and not only just that, because some people say, well, I'm good, I pray, I do this. No, I'm spiritual, we'll say. Not just your spirituality. Spirituality coupled with action. Not just action that is good. Because anybody can do action. Even a monkey in a circus can do action. We see it, you throw a banana and it does a trick for you. So the idea is not just action. It is good action coupled with good deeds, coupled with sincerity, coupled with dedication, coupled with drive, coupled with helping others, going in that direction of a positive outcome. Thereafter, Rasulullah says, learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim. Every Muslim, or every Muslimah, is a sister to a fellow Muslimah, and that in reality, we constitute a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim. That means if something belongs to someone else and they have a right in that thing, then you cannot just go and take it away. You cannot just usurp it as you like. They are your brothers. They are your sisters. He didn't say biological brother and sister. Just general. Can you imagine if you are not my biological brother or sister and I cannot take your things away from you? How can I do it if you are my biological brother and sister? Then what will the crime be? My brothers and sisters, I very seldom have ever met any large family where a senior member has passed away, where the younger one said, or the older one said, it's no problem. You want extra money from dad's inheritance? Go for it, it's yours. I have yet to see such a family. I have yet to see any large family where people say, we have never had inheritance issues. Our sisters are treated with respect. Our brothers are treated with respect. I can even add on further, even religious, when I say religious, I'm not just talking about beard and religious clothing. Even families where brothers and sisters are ulama, not just ulama, ulama and teaching sharia, teaching religion, even they cannot stand up and say, I have been fair regarding the distribution of inheritance to my sisters, to my brothers, to those that were up or to those that were bottom. So the hadith is saying, if you cannot take or usurp the rights of others, how can you do it to your own biological community? That is something, again, we have to take into consideration for our du'as and good behaviors to be accepted. And thereafter, hadith says, unless, of course, it was given to you freely and willingly. You know what this means? Let me tell you what it means. One is, I give you, but I don't want to give you. Free and will here refers to, I must give it to you with a love and affection. You know, my brother, you want a dog? Nothing wrong. Here's it, take it. I'm enjoying giving it to you. I wish I had more to give you. That's what free and will is referring to. Not when he came to me, you know, he put me in this predicament, he mentioned all this data, he manipulated me. Okay, I gave it to him. What can you do? That's how people are. They come to us, they ask us. So once a person talks like that, free and will is gone. And let me tell you one thing, my brothers. Don't take this as a bad remark, but it's sufficient to say, very few people ever want to give what they have to someone else. I have met very, very few. And many individuals, when you give them back what they have given you, 99.9% of the time, they are very happy taking it back. That's human nature. Why? They worked hard for it, they feel. They made sacrifice for it. And the list goes on and on. So this hadith is saying something very unique. It is saying not only must you not take away the right, if someone is willing to give you that right, then too be cautious. How much more clear and dynamic can the words of Rasulullah be? So inshallah, next week, I thought this week we'll bring an end to it, but next week inshallah, we will talk about whatever is love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in understanding the values that this hadith is sharing to make us inshallah into better individuals. Also, there is a few announcements to make. Inshallah, we are hoping to have summer school But we are seeking to get about 20 different families. If we don't have 20 families that are willing to sign up, then it's going to be very difficult to have, because we have to get teachers and various other things to get into motion. Just having 5 or 6 kids, 10, 12 kids, it's going to take away that fun aspect. Again, it's a matter of priorities. People find it difficult to support these type of projects. If it's difficult, it's your child, it's your future. If you cannot spend your resources in a way that will create upliftment for your family, for your community, bring them into a masjid-like environment, masjid park, we have a basketball court, every facility we need to have for them, we have for them. But if it's difficult for you to break, whatever, I mean, from 9 to 2, from a babysitting point of view alone, you'll be saving tremendous amount of money. Forget about the learning point of view. But if you have other priorities, we respect that as well. So inshallah, that will start on June 8th, but let us know today by giving us the name. Announcement number 2, Alhamdulillah, Ali Ibrahim has assisted us in making a calendar, and we took it out quite early this time. Take a look at it, it's both sides. Whatever changes you feel are necessary, let us know right now, and inshallah, we will take that into consideration. And number 3, on Sunday there will be an announcement, there will be a meeting at 2:15 regarding the moon sighting issue. My brothers and sisters, there has come a point where I have realized that most of us are very caught up in our work, in our family, and all those type of things. We barely have time for our salah. I mean, let's face it, how many of you performed Fajr Salah this morning? Don't pick up your hands. How many of your families performed Fajr Salah this morning? Now can you imagine? Some brothers are smiling, they're looking at one another. Okay, that's fine. You gave an answer. Number 2, how many of you are giving your zakah on time? Did you know there was a research that came out? If every Muslim gave the zakah, poverty will be eliminated in the world for every Muslim. That's how the power of zakah can be. How many of you went for Hajj and Hajj has been already farz on you? Now we come to the moon issue. If you're not doing what is necessary, it is no wonder many of us do not care to do the right thing regarding the moon issue. Because what you are thinking is, Imam, you're really a fool. I'm not performing my salah. I'm not giving my zakah. I'm not going for Hajj. I'm not respecting my wife or my husband. I'm fooling around on the side and doing things I'm not supposed to be doing. Occasionally I go and drink, and now and then I do drugs. I'm filled in sin, and you want me to do Eid and Hajj or Eid or alternatively the Biri or Ramadan on the right day? Are you so stupid as an imam? That's what you're basically telling. That's what it comes down to. Because if all your behavior is right, then the moon issue will not be an issue. It'll just flow into it. That's how it will be. So on Sunday they're going to have a meeting inshallah at 2:15, I was told. And it's to bring about a final resolution on how we're going to have the beginning and end of Ramadan. Most people will clearly say, there was a research that came out. It was regarding a Chinese couple. They went with a white fellow around the United States. This is what happened. And I'm trying to show you that many of you are going to say, we must do the right thing. This is what you're going to tell me. We must do the right thing and follow the moon. Right? In line of that, there is an example where this guy went with an Asian couple in 1934 and asked them, can we stay in your hotel or go to a restaurant? 92, in fact, only one group declined. Majority said you can stay in a hotel and come to a restaurant, and they did not decline the Chinese group. Later on, they sent a questionnaire and they said, would you like to accept a Chinese couple in your restaurant or in your hotel? And guess what the answer was? No. The answer was no, we don't want Chinese. 92% said no. What does that tell you? That when I ask you, do you want to do the right thing, you'll say yes. It's normal. But when you walk out the door, what you're going to say is, Imam doesn't know about technology. Yeah, I'm not using a cell phone. I've got a bird who takes my messages for me. I don't know technology. Okay, fine. Imam doesn't understand times have changed. Yes, I'm 1900 years old. You know, I'm born that long time ago. Maybe I was born around Adam alayhi salam, and I'm the longest living creature ever. What I'm saying is this. What we say and what we do is two different things. And in light of that, on Sunday there will be an appointment, there will be a meeting. I keep on saying appointment, there will be a meeting. And you are to decide on what direction you would like to take the community. As far as my opinion is concerned, I'm not going to share that. That is irrelevant. And whatever you decide, going to Makkah, going to Jerusalem, going to my country, South Africa, to make me happy. Even I would be going to South Africa, by the way. But if you want to go with it, that is fine with you. Whatever you choose, inshallah, the decision will be made according to that. So on Sunday, the meeting will be here at 2:15. It'll be after the Sunday school. And I hope that, inshallah, you all will attend and make a decision on what you feel. I can't say any more good for deen, but in what will appear to be good for yourselves. So inshallah, hopefully you make the right decision, and that will take place inshallah on Sunday at 2:15.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Without further delays, attended the general body meeting. We appreciate your attendance and your participation. But again, the participation was very, very low. So it's that these general bodies are for you and your voices to let us know how we're doing and what you like us to do. So next time, please make a plan to attend these general body meeting or any meeting. Let us know about your concern and raise your voice. As you all know, Khadija Cemetery is almost done, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your help and your donation, your support, but we still need some bills to pay. And these bills need to be taken care, inshallah, before the Ramzan comes. So we have balance of about 111,000 left. And as you know, the lots are still available for sale. Each lot is about $1,000. You can buy for your family member, you can donate it, or just make a donation, you know, so we can take care of these bills. As you know, Brother Rashid Afridi is always after all of us, and he's doing his best every day. So we all have to make effort, not just him. It's not just his project, it's everybody's project. So please help us out and get this thing taken care of before Ramzan, inshallah. Masjid Al-Farooq, which is located in a clear field, is having a fundraising dinner on 30th of this month, which is Saturday. The location is close to airport. The address is 307 North Admiral Bayer Road, but the flyers are out there, and the time is from 6 to 9 p.m. Please come and support this project. Thank you very much.